I have a title for the message this morning, and I'm going to call it a message on comparing. When we think of comparing, oftentimes we think of comparing ourselves among ourselves. We think of that scripture, and we find that the scripture says it's not wise. So we have no intentions of comparing ourselves among ourselves. But what we want to do, we want to compare the word of the Lord, the contrasting teachings. I'm going to use this word, is paramount. It's very important for us to be reminded. There are so many different messages that we have heard down through our life. Oftentimes in our age right now, it's hard to hold the attention of the people. There's many things that can distract us and can cause our minds to wander. It's just a time that we're living in. And we often have to discipline ourselves when we come to service. And we have to draw our minds in. And sometimes, I'll speak for myself. We think this is not the message for the congregation. We think surely they need something else. I have battled that over and over. Different times, and the Lord just doesn't give anything else. So I'm going to have to say this morning, this is what the Lord has given, and I don't have anything else. So I am trusting and hoping that the Lord will. Well, it reminded me of something that the Lord said to me years ago, early on in my ministry, and I was troubled. I felt like that I was talking baby talk. I felt like that the congregation was so far ahead of me spiritually. And then I was taking it to the Lord, and the Lord just plainly spoke to me, and he said, it is none of your business what I do with your words once they leave your mouth. He says, I can convert it into their own language. I guess that's where I am this morning. I'm desiring that the Lord will convert this into what you need this morning. I don't know what you need. I wish I did. No, I don't wish I did. I would try to fix it if I knew, but I can't fix it. So I want to talk to us this morning about opposites. I want to say that I believe that the whole Word of God is founded on contrasting words and opposite meanings and things that are opposite and things that are extremely different. The whole Word of the Lord, it starts. And I don't think that I can even cover the all of it. I know I can't. But it starts in Genesis. The beginning is, it says that he created light and he created darkness. Those are opposites. And that is carried over into the spiritual realm, and light and darkness has always been in opposition to each other. They're opposing. They're completely opposite. And so I was thinking about the English language in the study that we've had when we were going teaching the school, and it was called etymology. It's a very good course, and it's very interesting to understand the different words and how they're used. And what I found is that there's words that are similar, they have a meaning, and there's words that have the same meaning in the different sounds, and there are words that have no sound at all alike, but are completely opposite of each other, and they're called antonyms. So I'm going to speak to you a little bit this morning about antonyms that are in the Word of the Lord. And I just say that the Bible is just full of antonyms. And I'm going to say that the antonyms that we will deal with in the Word of the Lord are extreme in measure. And I'm going to say this, that you cannot ever expect these two words to come together and mix together somewhere in the middle. And I'll give you some examples. Well, first of all, I want to say it this way, because you've probably said it, you've probably heard it said, well, that's as far as from one end of the pole to the other. And when I've said that before, not realizing what that statement meant. And I looked it up, and you know what it's talking about? The North Pole and the South Pole. And so you're referring to how far the North Pole and the South Pole are, and they can never come together. They never will blend and come together and be as one. They will forever be that far apart. And that's how some of the words in the Bible are and will always be. I'm thinking of God's judgment. God's judgment, that's a whole nother message. But it says, the word of the Lord says it's pure. And so I'm thinking of those biblical antonyms of God's judgment. And he speaks in his word of right and wrong. Right and wrong will never come together and find some little common place. Right will always be right. Yes. Wrong will always be wrong in the sight of God. Right. Now, the sight of man, it changes. Yes. Truth and error. You can't change truth and it stay in the truth. Truth without being truth is error. But truth and error cannot blend and remain the same. Truth will be affected. Truth is very important to the people of God. We want the truth. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. So God looks on truth, it's vital, it's paramount to God, the truth is. He cannot work with error, but he can work with truth. Good and evil. Good and evil are at the end of each pole, and they cannot blend together and stay the same. And another one is light and darkness. I think I've already mentioned that, because that's in the beginning of time. And light represents the light of God's word to us, shining light on our path. He says for us to walk in the light while we have the light, lest what? Darkness. come upon us. So when darkness comes, what happens to the light? And when light comes, what happens to the darkness? It changes. But they cannot be the same at the same time. So that's just a few of the thoughts that we had about some of the words, biblical antonyms. I'm going to say this because this is how I felt like that the Lord impressed it upon me. We know that the word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven. It will not change. He says, I change not. His word does not change. And so I said it this way. I mean, it came to me like this, that the word of the Lord is set in stone. And immediately my mind went to the commandments that were written in stone. God wrote them in stone. God writes his word today in stone. This may not look like stone, but it is. So God's word cannot and will not change. Now I want to say just a little bit about how man handles words. Man can blur the meaning of some of these antonyms, and even their definitions. Man can do that. And then we have a scripture. Doesn't this come to your mind? It's in Isaiah 5 and 20. Woe unto them that call what? Evil good and good evil. Is that blurring? Trying to take this word that is totally opposite of this word and trying to somehow make them less meaningful? You know why? Because people don't really want to be called evil. They don't want to identify themselves with evil. They want to identify themselves with good. And so they're trying to call that which is evil good, and that which is good, evil. And that makes them feel more comfortable and justified. But it goes on and it says, and that they put darkness for light and light for darkness. And they put bitter for sweet. You know, I rarely have read this whole verse. I forgot all about that they want to make bitter and sweet the same thing. There's people that have an appetite for sweet things. And then there are people that like bitter things. But you don't call it that. You don't eat a pickle and say, oh, how sweet this is. Or you don't eat a piece of cake and say, oh, that's so bitter, I can't bear it. Because we know those two are not going to mix. They're not going to mix literally. And they're not going to mix spiritually. So this is what man has done to many of these words, trying to justify themselves and trying to make themselves feel very comfortable in the choices that they have made. They don't want to be called a sinner. Very few people today will admit that they are a sinner. They want to believe that they are a child of God, even in the world. Oh, I believe in God, and that makes me see what I'm talking about. No one wants to really. Well, the next verse, verse 21, says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. That just is a little conclusion of that 20th verse. Then I have a scripture in Ezekiel 44 and verse 23 and 24. And it says, they shall teach my people the difference. The difference in what? These words that are throughout the whole scripture, that it seems as though if we have some education at all, we ought to know. And yet the word of the Lord says, I want you to teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. There's two words that are there at the end of the poles. They're as far apart as the North Pole and the South Pole. They cannot come together. And, I don't know about you, but sometimes, and I don't want to be judgmental. I want God to be the one to judge all people. But when we have light and understanding and we know what the word of the Lord is saying, and we say to ourselves, why can't they see it? The Lord showed it to me. Why can't... Do you ever do that? I don't believe that's judgmental. I believe that we are so convinced of the truth of God's word that we're desiring the whole world to see it in that light. So this says, I want to teach you the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Now, I know what it's talking about, but I'll tell you, we need to know the difference. There is a difference in every one of these words. There are distinctive, different qualities even. They are completely, extremely different. The next verse says, and in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment. God is saying to all of us today, you need to look at these things from the same way that I look at it. Yes. Have you ever gone before the Lord and said, Lord, judge me according to how you see me? You know, he judges you and me righteously. He's not partial. He's fair. And what does he judge us by? His word. And his word is fair. Praise the Lord. And his word is right. Yes. And he's saying for us to just judge these things according to how I judge them. If we do that, don't you know we'll be okay? We'll make it. If we can see as God sees, he knows how to judge us all, and he knows how to judge the world. Okay. This part, not really turning to the scripture because we're all so familiar with the scripture, but it's comparing God's thoughts with our thoughts and God's ways with our ways. And you know what he said? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. And then how did he compare them? As high as the heaven is above the earth, can we measure it? Well, he's saying that's how much of a difference there is in the way I think and the way you think. And what you do, your ways and my ways. And so that's why he's needing to be the one that will, you know, the scripture that says the author and the finisher of our faith. He wants to be the author and the finisher of our judgments. And I'm not talking about judging you. I'm talking about judging me to make sure that my vision, there again, there's a blindness and vision. They're two opposites. We can be spiritually blind, or we can have a spiritual vision where we do not perish. We'll be able to see as God sees, but we'll be able to... A vision is when one prepares for the future that they cannot see. But one that is blind cannot prepare at all. So those that have a vision, they will not perish, thank the Lord, if their vision is clear of God's judgment and God's word and what it means. And so there is another scripture I want to give you, because it was, I counted it like a little prayer, and I want to give it to us today and maybe use it in your prayer. And it's in Psalms 25, and it's verses 4 and 5. And David said, "Shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy path." Do you ever seek the Lord? "Lord, lead me in a plain path." You know what that plain path means? I think it goes on and says, maybe in the reference, "because of mine enemies." Don't you know that you and I have some enemies? Oh, I'm not talking about people that's trying to fight against us right now, but we have an enemy that is trying to destroy us. And if we are led and taught in plain ways, simple ways, really the word of the Lord is not supposed to be so complicated that it takes a college degree to understand it. Because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit who teaches us, leads us, and guides us into all truth. And even those places that we don't understand, if we seek for it, He'll open it up to us. He will reveal it. He's faithful. He wants us to understand. So He says, "Shew me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy path, and lead me in thy truth, and teach me." I don't care how old I get, I believe I will always need the Lord to teach me something, to lead me in some way. Why do I believe that? Because of what the word of the Lord says about my heart. I don't like that verse. I don't like to claim that my heart is desperately wicked, but I know the potential is there. Don't you know the potential is there to lead you astray?
Yes.
Amen. That spirit that is of the world, that spirit that is of Satan himself, is there working, trying to do something to hinder my successful walk. So I need Him to teach me. And it says, "For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." I want to tell you something, and I know you already know it, but there's much waiting along the way.
Yes.
Sometimes we wait for our victory. Sometimes we have to wait for Him to speak to us and for us to hear His voice. Sometimes we have to wait for inspiration. We have to wait on the Lord. And He says, "Wait on the Lord. Wait," He says, "I will strengthen thine heart." Sometimes we feel faint when we can't hear the voice of the Lord and we can't feel His presence. And we spoke about this in Sunday school this morning. You know, Job felt that way. And what did he say? "You know the way that I take." God knows us. And He's willing to work with us and bring us to a place of victory. And there's another scripture that comes to my mind, and I've used it here before, and I've had to use it in my own life. And it says, "And they went from strength to strength." What does that mean? It means victory. You get this victory and you gain strength here and you hold on to it. You don't let it go, because you're going to need it for the next battle. And when you go from strength to strength, you're going from battle to battle. That is common to us all. I don't care who we are. You're going to have battles in life.
Amen.
And God has the strength to give you and me for each battle. Amen. That we can be stronger for the next battle. That's His purpose. That's what he wants to do. So we're going to have to wait all the day, every day. So the battle deals with twos. Twos is very important in the word of the Lord. The number two. Man is commanded to choose. So if you have to make a choice, you have to choose between things. And in the word of the Lord, it's two things. You don't get a choice of three or four things. You get a choice of two things. And so Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says, and he says this, God says this, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. What does that mean? It means that the witness of God's word is in heaven and in the earth that he created. And they will be a witness against us or for us. And this is what the witness will be. I have set before you life and death. Aren't those two extremes? Can you be half alive and half dead? No, you can't. You'll either be alive or dead. Spiritually, it is the same. There could be a little balance in there when you're weighing the balance and making your choice, and God's grace is sufficient for that place. I'm not going to say it's so black and white that God, you don't choose this, you're cut off right then. I don't believe that. I believe that we are serving such a wonderful, merciful, kind, and loving Heavenly Father that when we pass through some of these valleys and maybe we're tempted. You've heard me tell this, but many years ago when I was passing through a long trial of over 2 years, and I became so tempted. And I had in my mind, there was a line that was drawn. And the words were being spoken in my ears constantly. I fought this battle for 3 months, every day. Just step across the line. You will never have to preach again. I cannot tell you the temptation that was. I wept, I shed tears, I prayed, but I was tempted like that every day for 3 months. And then one day, and I love the ending of the story. See, there's an end. I turned and I saw a city set on a hill. But the temptation was so hard, I looked back at the line one more time. And then God helped me to turn and run for my life. Now those are the kind of temptations we're going to go through, but God's mercy will be there to help us to make the right choice for life. I set before you life and death. Choose. See, he tells us what to choose. We're not ignorant. Well, what if I choose death? Maybe that'd be... There's people today that think death is going to let them escape from all the heartache here. Where will they end up? If they take their own life, they'll end up in a worse place. Amen. But choose life. And then it says, I've set before you blessing and cursing. And again, it tells us what to choose. So we make a choice out of two things. Blessing and cursing, that's the same as life and death. So these are extreme opposites. Now there is an opposite like in so choosing. What are we choosing for? We're choosing for this life. and we're choosing for the next life, aren't we? Our choices that we make in this life will affect eternity. And so what do we call it then? We call it this time world is where I make my choices, where I have the power and ability to make my choices is now. It's not going to be, you know, there are beliefs. I've been to a funeral that a woman I didn't even know. I was in Arkansas and my children went to the funeral and I went along with it. And the minister that preached the funeral, and she hadn't lived a godly life, but he preached it like this. He says, now she can be godly. In other words, well, she was once saved. And now, I mean, she lived an ungodly life from what I heard. I didn't know her. But if we think death is going to allow us to just go right on into heaven, and now I can be what I wish I had been over here, it won't work because they're two extreme opposites. Time and eternity. What does the songwriter say? The crashing when they meet. It's like the crashing of ages. So you can't mix time and eternity. We're preparing here for eternity. That's what we're doing right now. Every day we're preparing to be able to exist in heaven for all eternity. So again, time and eternity are two distinct places, and there's just no middle place. There's not a, I can't have both at the same time. So in eternity then, we're going to two other extreme, distinctive, different, well, they're places. According to the word of the Lord, they're existing places in eternity. Now we know what they are. Heaven and hell. There is not a purgatory. There is not some middle place that I can exist and hope to slip over into heaven after X number of years of being. This is a deceived teaching. So it's either heaven or hell. Amen. So those are two extreme, distinctive, different places. And the way to heaven is in my choice today. Yes. And, you know, people don't like to say that they have chosen hell. But if they refuse to choose life, they're making automatically the choice without saying it. It's the result of a non-choice. So there is a song, and I distinctly remember this. Years and years ago, I was in West Virginia camp meeting, and the Lord had given me a message, really, on heaven and hell at that time. And there was an individual there that had once been saved and had backslid, gone out into the world, and they were there that day. And this song was sung in the altar call, Lost Forever, number 399. And the last verse really affected this person. They talked to me after the service. They did not yield, but they didn't like what this verse said. And it says, "Where will you go, poor sinner? How will your soul escape? Think of thy lot when forever cast in the dark burning lake. If then you're lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair, this is what she didn't like. You will remember you've chosen to be there. So there are people today that say, God is too good to send anyone to hell. Have you heard that statement anywhere? If you haven't, you probably will. Because that is a belief in the world that God is so good, he doesn't send any. God does not send people to hell. They choose it. It's their choice. So, again, if they do not choose heaven or choose life, then they have made a choice anyway. There is another scripture, and probably I should have started with this. It just sort of slipped my mind, you might say, Matthew 6:24, and it says, and we all know this, no man can serve two masters, because he will either love the one and hate the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. So again, there's choices that are made of who we serve. And again, it verifies the fact there's only two choices. Some people might say, well, I don't choose God and I don't choose the devil. I just want to live my life. You've made a choice. If it's not for God, you can't live to yourself. And the scripture says you can't die to yourself. So we're making choices whether we like it or not. And so I want to talk just a little bit in closing of the two masters. And we entitled this, you know, a message on comparing. And I hope we've compared plenty for us to think about. But have you ever just stopped and analyzed and considered? And I'm not able to give all of the details of comparing God and Satan. But I would challenge us to take the word of the Lord and compare the two. It should help anyone make a right choice. If I know anything at all about this one that's at the far end of the pole and this one that's at this end of the pole and the vast extreme differences of the two, it seems as though that should cause everyone to make the right choice. So in just a little few sentences, God, the God of heaven, what would you say about him? How would you analyze the God of heaven? Well, we know he's righteous. And we know that he is full of light. I'm just giving you a few, but there's many scriptures that can speak about the God of heaven. He is light. He has all goodness. There's nothing evil about God. He is not mean. He is not ugly. He is not, you know, anything opposite of the things that we've said. Light, in him is no darkness. Righteous, there is no unrighteousness in God. Good, there is no evil in God. So whatever the opposite is that we're saying of him, he is not. He is not that. So then we compare him to the other God. Because Satan is a god of this world. He's called a god. We might call him the devil, we might call him Satan, but he's also a god of this world. And he is, what does he offer? Does he offer you life? He offers death. And he also, does he have goodwill? Who has goodwill? Our Father which is in heaven. Yes. Offers goodwill toward all men. Yes. Doesn't that help make the right choice? Yes. And then this other God, he wants to steal. What does he want to steal from you? You know, he wants to steal your soul. He wants to steal your joy, your peace. Anything he can steal from you, he will do it because that's his job. He wants to kill. He wants to kill you. He wants to kill us physically, but he wants to kill us spiritually. And then he wants to destroy. He wants to cast you and me into the lake of fire. That's what he wants. So does that help make the right choice? It should. It should. So these are two very extreme cases. Gods, if you will. So our last thought is from a song, Farewell to Sin. And, oh, it's a good song. All of the verses in that song are so good. But the one I want to say to you today is, I will part with thee, O Master. See, making a choice. I'm weighing the difference. I know now what this God is like. I know what this God is like. And now I'm making my choice and I'm going to depart with you, old master. This is my firm resolve and I'll boldly state my reason why we must resolve. And what is the reason? What is the chorus? The wages. The pay of sin is death. And the scripture, we know what that says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you've got two more extremes. Wages and gift. He's offering to every one of us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope that there is something that has been converted into your own language today, some way. Because it's none of my business what God does with the words that come out of my mouth. What did he do on the day of Pentecost? Did they all hear it in their own language? So that's what God wants to do with the word of the Lord. He wants each one of us to get our portion that will work for our good. Desire your prayers.